Thanks for listening to the Sunday morning message from New Hope Bible Church in Seven Valleys, Pennsylvania. For more information, please visit our website at www.nhbible.com. Have a blessed day.
Why don't you have a seat? Just as we pick up, the gospel not only opposes the culture of Peter's day, but it opposes any culture of any time that stands in opposition to how the Bible states we are to live. We don't live our lives based upon what our society teaches us. The Bible says that we're supposed to submit. We've gone through a whole list of things, people, situations where we're supposed to be submitting. And if society teaches us something other than what God's Word says, it's in opposition to God's Word. And Peter is directing us specifically in the seven verses that we're looking at today about the countercultural experience and teaching regarding our marriage relationship. What is this marriage relationship? How is it different than so many other ways that the world says, well, marriage relationship can be between any two people? The Bible makes it clear that a marriage relationship is between a man and a woman, not just any two people. God's Word makes it very clear what this relationship should include. And remember, a lot of what Peter is writing about, he's writing because people were living without hope and because they were so uncertain about whether God was really the one who was going to meet all their needs. Verse 1 begins, "In the same way, you wives." And if you look down to verse 7 just reverses it a little bit. He says, "You husbands, in the same way." So we see a very, very parallel situation here. From verse 1 and verse 7, he's writing to both husbands and wives. And he's writing to them in the same way as what was just talked about in all of chapter 2. But we'll just look at in the same way of the last few words of chapter 2, where Peter said, "For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure with patience? But if, when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." In your marriage relationship, for those of you who are so involved right now, God's Word makes it clear that if you mess up in your marriage relationship, if you do something wrong and you suffer for it, well, no duh. But if you do something right and your spouse responds wrongly, be prepared. Because in your patience and in your endurance, you will find favor with God. So that's the flow that Peter is going with as he says, "In the same way, you wives, you husbands, in the same way." Next phrase is, "Be submissive to your own husbands." I remember a wedding that I performed in September 1988 because of a couple very special things that happened. Andrea turned 3 that September. And we moved from Lewistown to Newville, Lancaster County, Newville Bible Church. And I was the new pastor, and I was asked in the transition process, hey, one of our guys from our church is getting married, the other pastor left, will you be able to carry through and perform this wedding ceremony? And yes, I said, I'd be glad to do that. The cat girl, do you remember her first name? Cat, not cat, I'm sorry. Anyway, we're at her wedding. We have rehearsal on Friday. Wedding is just about ready to start. I'm in the pastor's study. The bride and two of her bridesmaids are downstairs, and one of them comes up to me and says, hey, the bride has a question. Could you come down? Sure, I'll come down. Well, there's a part of the wedding ceremony in their vows specifically where I would read and they would repeat, and she was to report that she would love, honor, and obey her husband. And the two bridesmaids and the bride said, you know, I'm not really sure that's something I want to say. Is there some other word that we could substitute in there? And, you know, I like to think sometimes I think pretty quickly on my feet. I said, well, yes, I think we could substitute something in there. Let's see, instead of obey, how about if we substitute submit to? Oh, that would be great. I go, really? That's fine. I changed it in my notes, and she agreed that she would love, honor, and submit to her husband. If that's harder than obey or easier, I don't know. But the truth is, Peter says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. And I like to just explain it this way. Being submissive to your own husband is placing the well-being and desires of your husband ahead of your own well-being and desires. Placing the well-being and desires of your husband ahead of your own well-being and desires. And that's an instruction that God gives us, and I think there's an understanding of exception there. It's with the exception of when doing so goes against the revealed truth of Jesus Christ and his word. If I would say to Cynthia, I really have had enough of our neighbor. Go pull out the 44 Magnum. Go over and take care of him, would you? No, that's against the revealed truth of God's word. There are times when a husband could make expectations of his wife that goes against the revelation of truth. And so, the understanding is simple enough that wives are submissive to their own husbands unless it goes against the truth of God's word. And the thing, Peter says this because God has reason for it. God's word doesn't tell us to do something without there being a reason for it. And the reason is very simple. He says, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. You know, sometimes people can't hear what we say because they see how we live. But what Peter is saying is just the opposite. You know, that's really my next thought. Let's go back to how they may be disobedient to the word. They may be disobedient in one of two ways. Maybe they reject the truth of the gospel. They reject the truth of the gospel and their need for their personal salvation and their relationship with Christ. Individuals can be disobedient. Husbands can be disobedient that they simply refuse to believe that Jesus is the Messiah who died for their sins. But this passage isn't just talking about husbands who may be unbelieving of Jesus Christ. The second area is these husbands may know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but are living in conflict with His truth, hindering their walk with Christ, hindering their walk in their church family, hindering their walk with their wife and all of their family. And Peter says, these husbands may be disobedient to the word, and in your quiet, chaste way, recognize that you have the ability to win them without a word. I have enjoyed watching that take place in my years of service with Christ. Watching to see wives in their submissive walk win their husbands over. Maybe they come to trust Christ as their Savior, maybe they don't. But they so recognize what's happening in their wife that they acknowledge it's not like some of the other husbands who they know how their wives act. Your actions should speak so loudly, Peter says, that your husband says, I want to hear what you have to say, or what God's word has to say, instead of the opposite of your actions speak so loud, I don't want to know about the God that you worship. How loudly do our actions get to speak? Peter said that whole same thing as he dealt with the last half of chapter 2 in our relationships to governments, and our relationships to employers, and our relationship to masters. And he ends with that little verse 2 tacked on, and as they observed your chaste and respectful behavior. 1984, I was traveling to Moody Bible Institute. I was taking one of my graduate courses on marriage and premarital counseling. And I hadn't completed reading the book prior to leaving, but I was able to complete the book, and I talked to Cynthia. We had payphones. Some of you may not know what they are, but I got to Chicago and I called Cynthia on a payphone and talked to her. And I told her, this book is really good. Larry Crabb wrote it, Marriage Builder. We've used it for 35 years as a premarital counseling tool and as a counseling tool. One of the things that he points out, one of the two most important things that will strengthen a marriage relationship is the communication of respect for one another. If you want to know what the other thing is, go find the book. But one of the things is respect. A husband wants to know that his wife respects him. A wife wants to realize that the actions of her husband demonstrates how greatly he respects her. It It's an observational thing, Peter says. That husbands need to observe your chaste and respectful behavior. One translation placed it as pure. I thought, well, chaste isn't a common word. What would be a good word to use? Your pure and reverent, or your pure and respectful behavior. That covers it pretty well. Verse 3 goes on, and it shows to us the fullness of the picture of the wife's relationship. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses. And he's not saying that you shouldn't put on dresses, but it's not the outward appearance alone that should be a demonstration of your submission to your husband. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The imperishable qualities of who we really are. It requires our every essence of our being, our body, our soul, and our spirit. Our entire being has to be in step in our marriage relationship for this testimony to be strong. Every essence of our being should be this pure and respectful expression in our marriage relationship. It makes our marriage relationship strong. And I like this. God considers this precious. You know, I'm a grandpa, and if you didn't catch, we're going to a reveal party today, and I have a shirt made up, specifically a blue shirt, because I'm rooting for Team Blue, and number 7 is on my back, because by the time this child comes into the world in August, it'll be my 7th grandchild, and I know that when this child is born, likely we will be on vacation. And my wife will say, we need to go see our grandson. And I'm there, he'll be there when vacation is over. And we'll go. And while she is holding him, it'll be something like, oh, isn't he precious? You know, that's just what grandmas do. They're precious in the sight of grandmas. 10 times more is our relationship and our marriage that is precious in the sight of God. Hey, if we want to have something be precious in the sight of God, this is how it happens. How's your relationship with your husband? Peter goes on and gives this example. For in this way, in former times, holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed God, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Now, you need to follow this. In former times, holy women also who hoped in God. Peter could have used a lot of examples. He used one example, Sarah. But I think it's exciting to think about the fact that God is saying, women, I want you to be holy women as you hope in God. If you hope in God without following His instruction, you're not a holy woman. The test is there. Peter also shares why this is hard for the wife to do. He finishes the verse by saying, "You have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear." Why is it that it's hard for a wife to submit to her husband? Fear. He doesn't understand me. He doesn't get it. And there's a fear factor that comes into the heart and life of an individual, a wife, and because she hasn't understood God's plan, she's bound by that fear. I think we've covered these first verses well enough. Wives, if you're next to your husband, could you do me a favor? Peter and I both give you permission to do this, okay? Nudge your husband and say, "Listen, this is for you. Go ahead." I see someone can obey. Thank you. Because Peter doesn't give the instruction just for wives. You know, I explained recently to somebody that there's 6 verses written to wives and there's 1 verse written to husbands. Because the wives can follow for that long. Husbands need the short Cliff Notes version. Amen. Make it short, Lord. Hey, husbands, here you go. In the same way as the example was given throughout the end of chapter 2, live with your wives in an understanding way. That's not easy, guys. You know, let's face it. We know, maybe you men don't, but I know how things ought to be. And if I know how they ought to be, jump. Live with your wives in an understanding way. In the culture of Peter's day, it was not normal for men to act in an understanding way toward their wife. It was not a part of their culture. Wives were normally considered, if a citizen at all, definitely a second-class citizen. There were very little areas of respect. You can go back to the Old Testament and read of some of the great forms of disrespect that was lived out on some of the women recorded throughout the Old Testament especially. It wasn't part of the culture of the day for women to be understood by their husbands. Their marriage was arranged. It was for their own benefit of their husband. And Peter's word goes against the culture and says, you need to respond to your wife in an understanding way. You know, there's 2 ways that I think, guys, we need to do this. One, we should be the number one student of our wife. No one should know our wife as well as we do. If you concentrate, guys, on knowing your wife, you will know how to respect her. And for us to follow the culture. And over the years, I've thought about this phrase, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker. What does that mean? I mean, there's been a lot of things written and expressed about how they are weaker. Peter and Paul both relate this word weaker in other parts of their writings. So Peter and Paul, I think, both give us an understanding about what weaker means. In Peter's day, a woman was weaker, probably physically, probably socially. She was not a citizen. She was not given the respect. Intellectually, they were weaker vessels. But what is Peter talking about this weaker vessel? How do we understand what this weaker vessel is? What does it mean to be a weaker vessel? Peter and Paul both give us some examples. And before we get to one of them, I'm going to go back to Amy Scott's quote. Because a lot of times people look at this passage and they say, well, this is just a male chauvinist expression of Christianity to look down on women. And that Amy Scott quote that I shared with you a few weeks ago, the only time a person should look down on another person is when they are helping them up. That's going to stick with me. But what's he mean by this weaker? So let's go to Paul writing to the church in Corinth. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 1, you can do that, or you can follow the words right here. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. Interesting how Peter and Paul bring together some of the same words repeatedly. Foolishness. Submission. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. I think Paul is saying God chooses the weak things. Those people that he was writing to in Corinth, many of them were not considered the upper society. They were not considered the great people of their day. And God chose the weak things to confound the mighty things of his day. The weak, it wasn't a physical weakness. Ephesians chapter 5, we pick up at verse 15, says, therefore consider carefully how you live, not as unwise as wise. We're going to skip down to verse 20 and 21. Always giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And Paul goes on in verse 22 and he starts to talk about a marriage relationship. And he lays the foundation of it by describing that we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I think that the weaker vessel is described as we consider the next words in verse 7. Since she is a woman, Show her honor. You know, this summer, supposedly, there's supposed to be a Summer Olympics. And I saw in the past week some ladies who were preparing for the American team of throwing shot put. And I have thrown shot put. And I guarantee you, those women who were throwing shot put at that Olympic trial could beat the best throw I ever made. Their bad throws would meet my best throws. He's not talking about a woman's physical weakness. Those women who compete in the Olympic Games and they win, they're given the honor of a gold, silver, or bronze medal. Peter says, since she is a woman, show her honor. If you live in a society where commonly husbands do not honor their wives, what Peter is saying is, if you're understanding she's a weaker vessel, she may not be given in society all the honors that a man might be, but in your life, you honor her. Why? Because I said so. Isn't that what you say as parents and grandparents to your kids and grandkids? Why should I do that? Because I said so. That's not what God says. Honor her as a fellow heir of the grace of life. My wife is the exact same heir of eternal life that I am. And I have a responsibility to share honoring her because we have been given that same place in Christ. And guys, here's the bottom line. Guys, have you ever gone through a time where you felt like you were praying about something, you were praying that God would accomplish something, you were praying because of a great concern, and nothing seemed to be happening? Well, maybe the reason is because your prayers are being hindered because you're not respecting your wife the way God's word has said. So that your prayers are not hindered. Is it like my prayer is going and bouncing off of the ceiling? If you can't honor your wife, don't expect God to hear you when you call out to Him. So just these couple questions or thoughts to wrap up our time this morning. How are you doing? Peter is pushing us to know in your submission to one another in your marriage relationship. Are your actions speaking so loudly that they are pointing your spouse to Christ? And specifically, guys, are your prayers getting beyond the ceiling? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of spending these moments together. We thank you for the opportunity that is ours of knowing that in each and every event in our life, you draw us to yourself for a purpose. I just want to, while you're prayerfully considering the truth of God's word, ask you, is there an area, wives, that you need to deal with today and confess that Jesus Christ has called you to be submissive in some ways that you have not been willing to do? And husbands, Are you sure your prayer life isn't being hindered? You need to answer those questions. Father, you have called us to follow you, and you have said to us very clearly that as we walk with you, you will point us through the work of your Holy Spirit on our life. You will point us to the place of following Christ in such a way that it impacts our marriage relationship beyond the culture in which we now find ourselves. And we give you the praise and the glory for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and join us in Christ alone.
Yeah.